Chapter 4. Kidnapped. Surprisingly, Zhao Yunlan does manage to get some sleep. Chu Shuzhu even gives up his bed for the purpose, and Zhao Yunlan only manages a token, "Are you sure?" before he accepts. Chu Shuzhu gives him an answer of "something, something, your majesty." Well, that's more or less what Zhao Yunlan gets out of it, before he just nods and goes along with it. He gets to sleep in a bed, with clean sheets and a purring Da Qing draped across his chest. Somehow, all of that makes it easy to fall asleep. He doesn't even have any nightmares. Not that he remembers. He wakes up at an ungodly hour because he'd forgotten to turn off the alarm on his phone. He fumbles the phone off the nightstand and pours at the screen uncoordinatedly until the thing goes quiet. He feels vaguely like something is missing, and it takes him a moment to realize that he's alone in the bed. That shouldn't feel as weird as it does, seeing as he's woken up alone in bed most mornings of his life. But he definitely fell asleep with Da Qing there. But surely, Da Qing would have woken him up if there was something wrong. He looks at the time on his phone, and then stares at the number of unanswered calls on the screen. He'd turned the phone on silent at some point during the car ride yesterday, after the second call from his mother that he hadn't picked up. Fuck. Guilt churns at Zhao Yunlan's gut. Shunxi is going to be so worried. But what the hell is he going to tell her anyway? Not that he owes explanations to his mom for everything he does. He's a grown man, for fuck's sake. But he doesn't usually just vanish like this. Not since he was a kid, at least. He squeezes his eyes shut. It's too fucking early to be thinking about any of this, he thinks, and almost chucks the phone down on the bed, but who knows when that ship will be here. And then Zhao Yunlan is going to be leaving, and he might not get another opportunity to tell her anything for a while. He unlocks the screen, and then, like the coward he is, he sends his mom a message. I'm fine, Ma. No need to worry. I'll be home as soon as I can. Then he lets the phone drop down on the bed, screen down. He should go look at whatever has Da Qing out of bed. There's no way he'll manage more sleep now. It turns out that nothing is wrong, which is more or less what Zhao Yunlan had expected, but he's feeling a bit jumpy lately, and he just felt like making sure, just in case. Wordlessly, Chu Shuzhu hands him a toothbrush, a pack of cheap razors and a towel. Zhao Yunlan blinks and smiles and says, "Thank you." He's still not feeling awake enough for much, but he can manage that much. Chu Shuzhu grunts. Zhao Yunlan showers and brushes his teeth and shaves, borrowing the rest of what he needs from Chu Shuzhu. He would probably have said something if he minded. Maybe. Then Zhao Yunlan puts on the same clothes from yesterday, because that's all he has. It's good enough. He feels a bit more human as he wanders back into the kitchen. He feels even more so when Chu Shuzhu shoves a cup of coffee at him, like he knows that's exactly what Zhao Yunlan needs. He more or less inhales the coffee, barely managing not to burn himself. It's only then that he sees Da Qing sitting on a stool, staring bemusedly at Zhao Yunlan. Zhao Yunlan blinks at him, and then walks closer so that he can pet Da Qing's arm. Da Qing makes a small amused noise. "Maybe you need more of whatever that is, boss," Da Qing says. Zhao Yunlan strokes Da Qing's arm absently, nodding slightly. Then he freezes, the horrible realization of what Da Qing's words might mean suddenly dawning on him. "There's no coffee in space." Da Qing laughs at him, and Zhao Yunlan scrunches his forehead in Da Qing's direction. That is not a laughing matter. He's pretty sure he doesn't know how to function without coffee. Well, he supposes he could try getting more sleep. Chu Shuzhu makes an exasperated grunt. Oh, look, Zhao Yunlan is learning to tell the difference between the different grunts. There are more than enough stimulants for you to choose from. Zhao Yunlan splutters. That's not... coffee isn't... well, yes, it is... but it's coffee, and that's not the point. He walks over to the coffee maker and pours himself another cup. He might as well get his fill now if he has to make do without for however long. Da Qing is still quietly snickering at his expense. Breakfast still involves more honey than can be good for anyone, but Zhao Yunlan is very much not complaining. Every time either he or Da Qing looked like they might have so much as thought about saying something, Chu Shuzhi had glared at them like he might decide to snap them in half then and there. Zhao Yunlan is pretty sure that with those arms of his, Chu Shuzhi might actually manage to do that. Besides, it's food, and Zhao Yunlan is hungry. And so long as he's not the one trying to make the food, Zhao Yunlan will eat pretty much anything anyway. Zhao Yunlan will eat whatever he makes himself too, but no one else ever does. Afterwards, Chu Shuzhi tries to convince Da Qing to help him fix the hole in the roof. At least it tells Zhao Yunlan that whatever had happened to the roof, it wasn't that Chu Shuzhi had just decided he likes it like that and never bothered with getting it fixed. Well, convince Da Qing, as far as you can apply that word to the way Chu Shuzhi flat out orders him to do it. It goes about as well as ordering a cat to do anything ever does, as far as Zhao Yunlan knows. Da Qing stares at Chu Shuzhi like he's suddenly gone insane, huffs and turns around, his tail swishing behind him and nearly slapping Chu Shuzhi in the face. Da Qing flops down next to Zhao Yunlan on the trampled bit of grass from last night that Zhao Yunlan has returned to. "What's the point?" Da Qing complains, loud enough that Chu Shuzhi definitely can hear him. "It's not like he'll be coming back here." Chu Shuzhi glares at them, and Zhao Yunlan decides that he isn't getting involved in whatever this is. He leans in to look more closely at Da Qing's eyes. He'd noticed last night how they reflected the light. But up until now, he hasn't really had a chance to look this closely at them. Da Qing's slitted cat eyes blink back at him. "You have really pretty eyes," Zhao Yunlan says, because it's true. Da Qing blinks again, smiles a little pleased smile and then huffs and leans back, braced against his hands like he didn't care in the least what Zhao Yunlan thinks about his eyes. That's about when everything seems to go to hell. Suddenly, Da Qing is back on his feet, pulling his goggles down over his eyes, his gun already in hand. "Stay behind me, boss," he orders in a tight voice. Zhao Yunlan can't see or hear anything wrong. "Cat," Chu Shuzhi yells down from the roof. And, oh, he'd made it up there already, Zhao Yunlan thinks inanely. "I see it," Da Qing yells back up. Then he's pulling Zhao Yunlan with him, and he still has no idea what's happening, but if Da Qing thinks it's time to hustle, then Zhao Yunlan isn't going to question that. "Shit, boss," Da Qing says, looking out over the cornfields. "That's both of them." There's a sudden explosion from somewhere in the cornfields, and Zhao Yunlan feels his heart skip a few beats as panic starts gripping his insides. He squeezes Da Qing's arm. "With any luck, they might keep each other occupied," Da Qing says, and glances over at Chu Shuzhi right next to them. Oh, where had he come from? Chu Shuzhi, too, is holding onto some sort of gun, and his is definitely bigger than Da Qing's. There are more explosions, and Zhao Yunlan still can't see anything. "I wouldn't bet on it," Chu Shuzhi says darkly. Zhao Yunlan bites his lip as the next explosion sounds, just to keep himself quiet. "Any plan?" Da Qing asks. Chu Shuzhi just grunts before he's moving into the cornfield. "Why did I ask?" Da Qing grumbles and then briefly pats Zhao Yunlan's hand. "You stay here, boss, and be ready to run." Then he too is off, his weird gravity-defying boots lifting him off the ground, into the damn cornfields, where the explosions are coming from. They could have at least left him with some sort of weapon, Zhao Yunlan thinks. It's also the last thing he thinks, because the next thing he knows he's falling and then there's nothing. Zhao Yunlan wakes up in a bed. A bed that feels more or less like it's trying to swallow him, and he has to fight through silk and mounds of fluffy pillows before he manages to roll out of there, at which point he finally has a moment to realize that he has no idea where he is. "This is definitely not where I should be," he mutters under his breath. Hearing his own voice doesn't actually make himself feel all that much better. At least he's feeling a lot more rested than he has in a while. "I'm sorry for how you got here," a slightly echoing voice says, and Zhao Yunlan whirls around to try to see where it's coming from. He grabs one of the silk sheets off the bed to drape around his very naked body. There's no one there. He turns around again, and then embarrassingly startles and jumps back a bit, as a young woman in a flowy white dress is suddenly just standing there. She'd definitely not been there a second ago. She's also ever so faintly see-through. "I should have been more specific in my instructions, but there's no permanent harm at least." Drownlan stares at her, his heartbeat echoing in his ears. "Are ghosts a thing now too? That doesn't sound very spacey." "Where am I?" "This is one of Kunlun's alcazars," she says, her voice reedy and still echoing slightly. Zhao Yunlan swallows. He has no fucking clue what an alcazar is, but he's pretty sure that it means he's not on Earth anymore. He holds up a hand toward her and takes a few deep breaths. He'd at least thought he'd be conscious for the whole leaving Earth thing. It's just a bit shocking to have it sprung on him like this. "Give me a moment," he tells her. "I'm just... this is a bit sudden." "I am sorry," she says again, wringing her hands together in a nervous-looking gesture. "Do you... need something?" Zhao Yunlan takes one more deep breath. "No, I'm fine," he tells her and tries smiling. It feels faint and not at all convincing, but it's better than nothing. "How did I get here?" She makes a small hesitant noise, like she really wants to avoid answering that, but can't really think of anything else to say. She looks at something next to the bed, and Zhao Yunlan follows her gaze to a stand with light green robes. "Would you like to change first?" she asks, her voice brightening. Yeah, not exactly a subtle evasion. "That's not exactly my..." "Oh, of course. It was his preferred style. I understand if it's not to your liking," she says, sounding so sad that Zhao Yunlan instantly feels guilty. He looks over at the robes. Well, it's better than a sheet, he supposes. "It's fine, I'll just..." He gestures at the robes with one hand while clutching the sheet with the other. She keeps looking at him expectantly. "Can you just turn around or something?" That makes her laugh. The sound echoes slightly in the drapery-filled room. There's so much gauze and silk everywhere. Did someone actually sleep in the middle of all this? "I can see everything that happens here," she says with amusement. Yeah, so probably not a ghost then, Zhao Yunlan thinks. He thinks about the science fiction movies he's watched. Some kind of hologram? That sounds more spacey anyway. Yeah, well, it'll make me feel better if you do it anyway. She laughs again, but then turns around. The white dress sways with her movement, and then keeps swaying lightly like it's caught in some imaginary breeze. Zhao Yunlan shakes himself, and tries to take the robe off the stand. Except there's a lot more fabric than he was anticipating, and he's not at all sure how he's supposed to put any of that on. Once he gets it off the stand first. There's another peal of laughter, as he just stands there with some of the fabric hanging from one hand, and stares at the thing in consternation. He'd feel embarrassed, but, well, oddly, this might still not be the weirdest situation he's ever found himself entirely naked in. If you don't count the space bit, anyway. "I can help you," she offers. Zhao Yunlan sighs. Well, she's already seen everything anyway, hasn't she? He did wake up naked and... if Zhao Yunlan is any judge of things, washed and... He lets go of the robe and pokes at his beard experimentally. Yeah, definitely shaved too. "Maybe you should," Zhao Yunlan concedes. Suddenly, Zhao Yunlan's feet are swept from under him and he's rising up into the air, His belly swoops and he gasps and fumbles at the sheet in his shock. The sheet slides against his skin, the slippery silk making him shiver before it falls to the ground, and he's left hanging in the air entirely naked.
Not what I expected.
Zhao Yunlan breathes out a bit shakily. There's a whirl of fabric as the robes float into the air around him. He's not entirely sure if it's him or all of that fabric whirling around. It's making him kind of dizzy, to be honest. And then he's suddenly back on solid ground again, dressed in a lot of light, gauzy robes. And no underwear, he notes faintly. He looks down, not entirely sure that the sheer materials will be enough to preserve whatever modesty Zhao Yunlan might actually have. He angles his body a bit sideways and tries to catch a look.
Do you have a mirror?
She shows him to a floor-length mirror, and Zhao Yunlan takes a long look at himself. Yeah, that's definitely not his style. And the gold jewellery, woven into his far less messy than usual hair, is a bit much if you ask him. He's not quite sure he agreed to that part, and he's pretty sure there's makeup on his face too. He has no idea when that happened. But despite how flimsy all the fabrics might look, there's apparently enough of them that Zhao Yunlan's modesty is mostly safe. He looks down again, and then wiggles his bare toes. All things considered, that seems like an oversight. A pair of slippers float out in front of him, and Zhao Yunlan huffs and snatches them from the air. There's another light laugh that echoes in the room. Now that I'm all properly dressed, how about you tell me your name at least? Zhao Yunlan asks, and then a bit belatedly adds, I'm Zhao Yunlan, by the way. I'm called Wang Cheng, she tells him. He turned to look at her. And why am I here, Wang Cheng? She looks down for a moment before meeting his gaze again. There's a faint smile on her lips. I want to show you something. Would you please come with me, Your Majesty? She sounds hopeful and, well, does he actually have any choice here? He's pretty sure there's nothing he could actually do to her, seeing as he's pretty sure she's not actually there in any actual physical sense. And will you answer my questions then? She nods faintly, and maybe that's the best he'll get. He follows her out of the room. They walk across a walkway surrounded by water. Zhao Yunlan stops for a moment, staring at the waterfalls in the distance. Then he tilts his head to look up at the sky. The sky is, well, it's most definitely not an earth sky, that's for sure. Well, the rich assholes back home would all be green with envy, that's for sure. All of this bypass is rich and ostentatious by miles, and goes straight for being plain ridiculous and unbelievable. Pretty, though. Definitely very pretty. He sighs and picks up his speed a bit to catch up with Wang Cheng. Wang Cheng stops suddenly and looks up. Zhao Yunlan comes to a halt at her side and tilts his head back as well. There's a sound of something shattering, and all he can think for a moment is, oh, so it's not just open to the sky. There's a sound like falling glass, and static, and someone is flying down from the ceiling? No, two someones. Zhao Yunlan grins at Da Qing with such profound relief that he thinks his face might split. What took you so long, you lazy cat? His legs feel a bit wobbly, and he wonders if anyone would mind if he sat down for a bit. He firms his knees, determined to stay standing. He glances at Chu Shuzhu, hovering in the air on his own pair of those magic floating boots. Yeah, okay, that's not what they actually are, he's sure. Aiming his gun at nothing as far as Zhao Yunlan can see, and scowling even more fiercely than usual. The brief look is enough for Zhao Yunlan to note that he definitely looks more like someone from outer space now. There are some sort of glowing details on his black tight clothing, but there's also still a lot of black scarf, half floating around him. Maybe I should have left you here, boss. Da Qing huffs out, and then grins back at Zhao Yunlan. His goggles are glowing faintly with patterns that must be visible on the inside of those lenses. There was no need to break anything, Wang Cheng says faintly disapproving, as she keeps looking up at Da Qing.
I just wanted to meet him, she says faintly.
Da Qing's ears flick in irritation. I thought your memory was wiped after he died. You hopped up chamber presence. Da Qing hisses the last with clear anger. Zhao Yunnan isn't sure all of it is because of Wang Cheng exactly. Kunlun's death is not Da Qing's favourite topic, after all.
Not entirely. I'm not the same, but I'm still here, she says, determination in her reedy voice. Da Qing gives an explosive sigh, and then lands on the walkway in front of them. Zhao Yunlan chances another glance at Chu Shuzhi, just to confirm that he's still hovering in the same place as before. Yeah, there he is, scarf still floating behind him and all. Zhao Yunlan looks back at the two closer to him, just in time to see Da Qing push the goggles up. Zhao Yunlan knows by now that that's a pretty clear sign that there shouldn't be any imminent danger. Da Qing is still holding his gun, though, so maybe it's not time to breathe a sigh of relief quite yet.
What was your plan, exactly? Da Qing asks, more exasperated now than anything else.
She frowns and looks at Zhao Yunlan instead of Da Qing. I thought, she starts to say, and then her voice fades away. I was going to explain who he is, she says instead, and then offers a hesitant smile to Zhao Yunlan.
Da Qing heaves out another sigh and holsters his gun. He waves a hand at Chu Shuzhi, who lands a bit further away.
You'll do it better than me, at least, Da Qing says.
Zhao Yunlan feels just a bit surprised that Da Qing is entirely aware of how bad his explanations so far have been. For a moment there, Zhao Yunlan had thought that he was just too thick, or too stuck on earth stuff or something, to get it.
It's fine, boss. She won't... She can't disobey your orders.
Wang Cheng bows at him, as Da Qing finishes his sentence, but Zhao Yunlan is a bit too busy paying attention to Da Qing. He isn't quite sure what to think of the way Da Qing is looking at him when he says that. Zhao Yunlan takes a step closer, and reaches out to brush his fingers along Da Qing's jaw. Da Qing's eyes widen in surprise for a second, and then he turns his head into Zhao Yunlan's touch.
We'll wait for you to be done, Da Qing says, and then pulls away.
Zhao Yunlan lets his hand fall down and then watches as Da Qing nods at Chu Shuzhi, and they head off in the direction that Zhao Yunlan and Wang Cheng had come from. Da Qing, at least, seems to know where he's going.
Will you come with me?
Wang Cheng asks, and Zhao Yunlan finally turns his attention to her. He didn't mean to ignore her, it was just... Zhao Yunlan nods.
Of course. Lead the way.
He thinks about those words from Da Qing as he follows Wang Cheng in silence. Can Da Qing disobey him? The giant statue of Kunlun might be a bit too much, Zhao Yunlan thinks. But he can't deny that it makes an impression. Particularly the fact that it looks exactly like him. That's what everyone's been telling him, right? That he's supposed to be an exact copy of this guy. But it's different actually seeing it. It makes it seem all the more real somehow.
They don't believe in gods,
Wang Cheng is telling him. And Zhao Yunlan looks away from the statue and tries to concentrate on what she's saying.
They don't need to. They are their own gods.
Zhao Yunlan looks up at the statue again, and well, okay. That explains the statue, then.
And what does that actually mean?
Because it sounds like so much rich people bullshit to Zhao Yunlan.
Wang Cheng's smile is indulgent. Like she finds his lack of knowledge charming rather than annoying.
When he died, Kunlun was tens of thousands of years old.
Zhao Yunlan blinks.
Okay. He'd gotten the general feeling that space people lived for longer than people on Earth did, but that was... Fuck. That would mean this Kunlun guy had been born before there were people on Earth at all. Right? When the fuck had humans started being a thing on Earth? Why hadn't he paid more attention at school?
Jaeunlan tries to pull a hand through his hair, but his fingers get caught on the jewellery and instead he has to carefully pull his hand away so that he doesn't make a complete mess of whatever is going on with his hair. His struggle gives Wang Chung enough time to go on with her explanation before Jaeunlan can ask any more questions. Science. Genetics is what allows them to live for however long they wish. You are something very rare, Jaeunlan. A recurrence of Kunlun's exact gene pattern. With all the importance they put on genes, you can perhaps imagine that that is as close to a miracle as they can imagine. Jaeunlan thinks that it's a bit strange how she talks about this, like it isn't part of her world at all. Just something she is observing from the outside. But maybe that's exactly how it is. It's easier to think about that than think about what she's actually saying. Rebirth isn't an entirely foreign concept to Jaeunlan, and he'd mostly been thinking about all of this with that as a frame of reference. Not that he actually thinks he'd been this Kunlun in a previous life or something, but it had seemed like that's how Da Qing and the rest are seeing it. Maybe they do. But she makes it sound more like he's Space Jesus or something. Do they think I am him? Jaeunlan asks, gesturing toward the statue. Yes and no, Wang Chung says, which really isn't helpful at all. Genetically, yes, you are exactly the same, but you are still you. Your genes make you entitled, considered part of Kunlun's family, but you're not Kunlun. He made provisions for a possible recurrence in his will. Most entitled do, even if they don't expect to die. Jaeunlan thinks he's getting a headache. He stares at the statue again. It really does look exactly like him, doesn't it? How the hell do they live for so long? He asks. Because that... he can't get over that part. Older than humanity. Well, except obviously not, since apparently humans don't come from Earth at all. Fuck. Jaeunlan is just going to have a permanent headache while he's out here, isn't he? Wang Chung doesn't say anything, and Jaeunlan looks at her questioningly. She's staring at the statue as well, a pained look on her translucent face.